there is a dispute in the Mishnah of about the same thing, but the main decision is that such creatures are not considered to be humans. They are like us. They may have some kind of a rudimentary speech, but they don't belong to humanity, and therefore they have to be dealt with and treated with as animals. Now, that is at least some kind of a decision that says that humanity is defined in a certain way, even though the form is not always the part that counts about it. In other parts, and as I say, about artificial, completely intelligent beings that were not created in the usual way. Now, let me put at least an argument. An argument on one side, saying again that this argument is not binding on anybody, but at least this for something that is just at the stages of beginning thinking, it is one of the ideas. See, the question of the problem of the soul, as I mentioned, is crucial here. Does a creature created in the laboratory have a soul? Does a creature created in a test tube have a soul? Now, if I would put it in a very general, say, theological consideration, I would say that offend on the basic thinking, I don't see that whatever procedure comes about attaching a soul to a human fetus at every stage, that it is connected with a specific place in which it is done. So, if we say that, can we human beings make decisions about creating a human being in a test tube, then I would say that most of us, those who have children, make also decisions about creating a human being at will. Now, is it always successful? Our attempts? Not always. Sometimes we try to have a child and it doesn't work out, and occasionally it works also the other way around. But the same thing may happen in a test tube. See, of so many experiments in a test tube, one may be successful, two may not be successful. One which was considered a failure can come out as a success, and vice versa. So basically, to the difference or thinking about the basic difference between a test tube child and a womb grown child seems to me to be without grounds. It is a strange place indeed in which this child goes, and it may have any number of results, possibly so bad that such an experiment won't continue. It may also be a connection with four superior human beings that will grow in test tubes, say, more space, less interference, less psychological problems of the mother. All these things may be advantages or disadvantages. But I'm speaking about the principle. I don't see that as a principle it should be dealt with differently. And in that sense, you will speak about cloning. Again, we may have some legal problems about how much it would be a legal problem about definition of life. And one of the problems which, again, we have some Talmudic basis in the Tractate Shabbat, and that is indeed an interesting beginning of a different line of thinking, is that any being that is not a product of a male and female is not considered completely alive, at least in some legal forms, some legal ramifications. Now, that would mean may have all kinds of results. Some of these results are about, in the animal, world. There are already some kind of creatures, not high ones, basically, but among insects, and about that level of development, there are certain insects that have parthenogenesis as a usual way. Quite a number of insects indeed do it, with some parthenogenesis is strangely enough the end of that particular nest or line of development, which others it is not. We have, that's just a counterpart. There are certain kinds of insects that we know only theoretically that they have males. But from any practical point of view, they are continuing, and because they are pests, they are watched very well, but they are continuing as an ideal all-women society, continuing without any male interference and doing whatever they do on themselves. Now, that would be a legal question, and as I say, it is raised again in the Talmud as a possibility that any creature that is not male-female combination shouldn't be considered as a completely living creature for certain criteria, and we have similar notions about other things, about what's called, again, I just mentioned the name Ben Pakua, which is again a problem of a much higher animal, say sheep or calf, that is alive, can be breeding, and still is not considered completely alive. So the signs of life are in that sense not necessarily the legal ramifications for it, but on the other hand, this problem, especially when it comes to human beings, goes to the question of soul and body, and the fact that soul cannot be checked by any kind of a mechanical means.